Hey now, and welcome to the Angular Experience. True stories of music, mischief, and much more. Well, it's episode one, it's 11-11, it's Veterans Day, and it's Monday for Christ's sake. So there's all sorts of stuff going on, so fasten your seatbelt and get ready for a fun ride. We'll be right back. Once again, welcome to the Angular Experience Podcast. On today's episode, we're going to have What's That Word?, The Big Story, and The Record of the Day. Now, get ready for The Big Story. Well, before we jump into The Big Story, I believe I need to give a little bit of a formal introduction about who I am and why I'm doing this podcast. My name's David, and I'm a big music fan, and I've been a big music head since I was a young kid. So I thought I'd do a podcast about music and some of the other things that go along with my life, such as mischief and poor judgment and all the other things that create fun stories. My real introduction to music was my grandparents' house because my papaw played the banjo. And it was fascinating to sit on the porch kind of in front of his rocking chair as he played and watch him, you know, use his fingers on the fretboard and using the finger picks and everything. And it was just really fascinating to watch him. And then, of course, growing up in the South, everybody that I knew watched T-Haw on Saturday nights, where you could catch Roy Clark and Buck Owens, you know, and they had a bunch of really amazing guests. So these really musically proficient people would come on every Saturday night. And then you had the other variety shows, such as the Glenn Campbell Show and Johnny Cash and Sonny and Cher. So there's a lot of music in the early 70s that really turned me on to music and the entertainment value and the entertainment and the smiles that people get. You know, it's just an amazing thing. You know, music is such a common language that people can talk about, and people don't have to understand each other as far as actual language. You know, you can get people from all over the world, and you put on music and you see people tap their feet and you see people smile and you see people interact in some form or fashion through dance or other interpretive type stuff. So for me, music is so ingrained in my system. It's so in my heart and so in my soul that I can't imagine the world without music would be a very boring place. And I can't imagine that it would ever come to that, because really almost anything can produce music. And from there, it's just endless. So I'm a huge music fan. Like I said, I've been going to concerts since 1977 when I was 6 years old. And I really recommend people going out and catching live music and supporting local bands and local artists, because they're the guys that are struggling every single night of the week. So I really want to put it out there. Support your local artists, support your national artists, but go out and catch some music. It'll make you feel better, and it helps, you know, cover the bills for some guys that are on the road sweating it out every night. You know, another reason I wanted to do a podcast is because there seems to be a lot of pain in this world, and if I can bring a little bit of humor to someone just for a little while during the day, then that sounds good to me, and I've served my purpose, because this is equally a music site as well as some funny stories and some entertaining, you know, topics and so forth. So I really hope you'll enjoy listening to my podcast and come back each time, and I hope you can share it with some of your friends. I'm on Facebook at the Angular Experience, and that will kind of lead you to the rest of the social media platforms if you care to share it with others. Also, I'll be on all the major hosting for podcasts shortly, so I hope you can plug into your iTunes or whatever the case and listen there. Thank you for coming today, and here is the big story. Today's big story is about really three of my musical influences from the very beginning. Now, whether you guys know it or not, if you're a child of the 70s, you remember the Sesame Street pinball machine. You know the one, the kind of psychedelic one that said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Well, what you might not know is that's the Pointer Sisters. And you know, not only the imagery of all the stuff going on with the pinball machine, but it is a funky song. I highly recommend checking it out. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube and any number of places, but check out the Sesame Street Pinball Song. To me, that was like one of those things that really kind of put a rocket launcher in my fascination for different types of music. But, Sesame Street was very innovative. It was innovative on so many levels, but it had some really cool music. So, you know, one of my musical influences, believe it or not, was Sesame Street, Electric Company, and, you know, those type of TV shows, mostly on public television. And it was the music. And I loved it. I loved all the different music, whether it was that or whatever. That was a huge influence. So let's chalk up Sesame Street, and specifically the Pinball Machine song, as one of the big influences. My second two big music influences from when I was young, actually, it came in at a tie between the Beatles and Elvis Presley. Now, my fascination with Elvis started when I was really little, and I remember watching Elvis movies because they came on TV. And I guess my first impression with Elvis was, he's like a good-looking guy. He could sing. He could talk to all the pretty ladies. And he could fight, you know? And he had a cool factor that was like an 11 out of 10. So Elvis did it for me right away. And, you know, he came out with that special before, you know, and he was kind of like larger and older, and he had the rhinestone suit and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I used to get like Vaseline and get like a little glob of it and put it in my hair and slick it back to where it was ultra greasy. Put like a beach towel with a safety pin around my neck and run around the house singing Hound Dog like over and over until my parents are like going completely fucking crazy. So, like, Elvis really did it. I was like, Elvis is the man. I want to be like Elvis. So, that would be my second biggest influence. Now, tied and equally important would be the Beatles. Now, I didn't know much about the Beatles, but I went over to a friend's house for a sleepover when I was about, you know, 6, 7 years old. And I remember his dad had the album Meet the Beatles with I Want to Hold Your Hand and I Saw Her Standing There and all those songs. And so, next thing I know, I mean, I'm all about the Beatles. And I really, really just had my mind blown by that record. I love their sound. I love everything about them. I like the way they were dressed. I like their hairdos. The Beatles, like everyone else, you know, just had their mind blown. So, I mean, really. I mean, so you have Elvis and the Beatles, and those would be a tie for number two as far as my early musical influences. Last but not least, if I was to cite my third biggest musical influence, it's really my first biggest musical influence. And that was my General Electric clock radio that was next to my bed when I was really little. I moved out of a crib into twin beds with rails. And then when I got a little older, they took the rails off, so I had the big boy bed. Next to my bed was this GE clock radio, about the size of a shoebox. And it was like, you know, if you wanted the alarm to wake you up, it was either a buzzer or the radio. And the buzzer was really scary. I mean, it was really damn loud. So, like, I always wanted the radio, and I had it on the rock radio station. And one morning, I don't know, it was like the second the alarm went off, which was the radio, the song Light My Fire came on. And I'm not talking about the radio edit, like the little short version. I'm talking about the long version. And I'm sitting there in bed, you know, and my mom's trying to get me to come down for breakfast. And I'm listening to this song, and I'm just mesmerized. And I don't know really how to handle it, because I'd never quite heard anything quite like that. I mean, my record collection consisted of, like, Peter and the Wolf, Dumbo the Elephant, and all these other Disney classic records that everybody had in the 70s. So the Doors really weren't on my, you know, on my mind at that point. But here it is. I'm listening to it. Like, you have Jim Morrison's, you know, deep voice, Rayman Xerox keyboards, which are impeccable and perfect and just killer, you know, and that guitar that sounds just interweaving kind of stuff, you know, and just great sound. So I don't know anything about it. I just know I love it. Well, my step-grandmother came to town about a week or so later, and she wanted to take me to Woolworth's to the lunch counter to have lunch and all that, and to get a toy, because they had this upstairs with a lot of stuff, but then you went down the escalator, and there are the toys and whatnot, and other, you know, items. So after lunch, we went down to look at toys. But I looked across the room and I noticed there was a big record section. And I was like, So, you know, I went over to this guy and I was like, you know, excuse me, I'm looking for Come On Baby Light My Fire. And he was like, well, what's that? And I was like, yeah, I'm looking for Come On Baby Light My Fire. I don't know that song. And he was like, ah, Light My Fire, The Doors. And I was like, I don't know. So we go over to the D section and the records, and he's like, blah, 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 you know, starts flipping through everything and pulls out the Doors' first album. And, you know, I didn't really know what to think about it other than say yes, because I had to kind of assume he knew what he was talking about. And my grandmother, or whatever, step-grandmother, kind of looked at me with this kind of, you know, what the hell are you doing look. And was kind of on the objection right at the beginning, but I kind of talked her into it and, you know, said I'd take it home and listen to it. And I was really excited. So she agreed and, you know, here I am 6 years old and buying the Doors' first album. Well, I took it home and quickly, you know, put a slit in the cellophane and pulled it out and stuck it on my Mickey Mouse record player. Which, albeit, is a piece of crap, but I didn't care, man. I got that gloved hand and put it over and dropped it down on the first song, Break On Through, mind you. And I listened to all of it. Now, I'll have to say, at 6 years old, when the song The End came on, I was rather frightened. I mean, to say the least, I thought that was a creepy song. It was lengthy, and for whatever reason, I would not listen to that song. However, when I had a play date or a friend over, whatever, and things were getting stale or something, you know, we weren't getting along, I would go and put on The End. Not just because I wanted it to end, but usually that would prompt a phone call to their parents to come pick them up anyway, because they were creeped out by it too. So, you know, the GE Amazing Clock Radio turned me on to Led Zeppelin, The Doors. I remember hearing The Grateful Dead and all these other bands that I would never hear otherwise. You know, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, all the 60s and early 70s bands that just kicked ass. You know, heard Black Sabbath and I was like, you know, that's pretty muddy. You know, that's heavy, murky, crazy, you know, stuff. But as a kid, it really fascinated me because really, like I said, I had limited opportunities at my house. I heard Frank Sinatra, which I thought was boring. John Denver, however, I like. And I also heard Neil Diamond. And I like some of his songs too. But it wasn't like rock radio where you heard a lot of stuff from all over the place. So that was a big deal to me, and I'm really happy that I grew up in the 70s and experienced some of the best music ever from the 60s and 70s, and a lot from the 50s as well. So, yeah, those are my three big influences. I mean, the GE radio expanded everything, and I look forward to experiencing more as the time goes on. And now it's time for the word of the day, of the day, of the day, of the day. All right, everybody, it's time for the Incular Experience word of the day. Now, how this works is we start alphabetically, of course, with the letter A. And what I do is I'll give you a definition of a word, and the first three people that hear this and know the answer, they can go on the Facebook site at the Incular Experience, like my page, and then direct message me the answer. And the first three people that get it right will be shipped a special Incular Experience prize, which will consist of this week is an Incular patch. So it's something that could go on a piece of clothing or a tote bag, but it's this really cool sew-on, iron-on patch. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give the definition of the first amazing word of the day, and let's see if you can figure it out. And again, this begins with the letter A. The definition is a heavy, usually steel-faced iron block on which metal is shaped, as by hand hammering. This is something that Wile E. Coyote would like to drop on the Roadrunner's head, if you're old enough to remember that. So don't forget, if you know the answer, get on the Incular Experience on Facebook and give me the answer via direct message. And if you're in the top three, you'll be a prize winner of the day. And now we're going to talk about the record of the day. Today's record of the day is the self-titled album by Led Zeppelin. This album was recorded in September and October of 1968 at Olympic Studios in London. Jimmy Page was a key player in the Yardbirds, and as that band dissolved and he decided to do something a little different, he took on John Paul Jones, who plays bass, John Bonham on drums, and a new singer on the scene, Robert Plant, on vocals. The sessions took place before the group had secured a recording contract and were paid for directly, and took 36 hours and less than £2,000 to complete. It was self-produced by Jimmy Page, the group's founder, leader, and guitarist. Some of the standout songs on the album would be Dazed and Confused, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, Good Times, Bad Times, Communication Breakdown, and my personal favorite, How Many More Times. That's a powerful album, guys. I really enjoy it a lot. I highly recommend, if you haven't put on Led Zeppelin 1, the first album, recently or ever, go ahead and get it, put it on. You're going to love it. So tune in next time to the record of the day. We're going to always have something new and fresh for you to explore and hopefully enjoy. Thank you. That will conclude today's Incular Experience podcast. Stay grateful and help someone smile if you can.